From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad you joined us for episode number 114 of the program, right here in the middle of December, and we are back together. Lee, it's good to be back with you again.
Thank you.
And we're recording this on December the 13th, Leah, which is an important anniversary in basketball history, professional basketball. December the 13th, 1983 was the highest scoring NBA game of all time.
I was going to say that.
I figured you were. Mm-hmm. The Detroit Pistons beat the Denver Nuggets 186 to 184, triple overtime. The greatest statistic from the game, though, Lee, was this. The teams combined to go 2 for 4 from the three-point line. They scored 370 points, and they made 2 3-pointers.
Wow.
I wish I had a tape of that game. That had to be insane. I was only like 5 or 6. I don't remember it. But anyway, there's your basketball update for the day. Just had to share that. We are entering Christmas time, and shopping going on, and decorating going on, and open houses going on, and insanity going on, and brains going out, and everything's just going crazy. But lots of good stuff. Lots of busy stuff. What are you enjoying so far?
I like getting ready for that. We're having an open house.
This coming Sunday, as this is being released.
The church family come over, and you know, this is the first time some of them will come to our house, and so it's always exciting. I like doing that, and I like all the goodies and just the visits and everything. I like how the house is really clean because I make myself. It's not just usually clean. It's like really pleasant looking because all the things are put away. All the kids' toys are put away, and it looks so beautiful usually.
The forced clean.
Yeah, everything's just like, wow, we have floor. We have
countertops.
Look at that, a countertop. Yeah.
That's the way it works. We haven't done this in a little while, Leah, but I feel like we had to do this tonight on this episode because it's been a while, but major movements. Remember this?
This week?
For people who are going, what just happened on the program? That's our little funny music for this week in
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, if you're not familiar, we started this odyssey. I had this harebrained, insane idea on about January the 1st of 2017. That we would read the entirety of the Wizard of Oz novels to our children in a year. There are 15 of them. Well, there's 14 novels and then a collection of short stories. This week we finished novel 12. Notice I said we start on January the 1st, 2017.
At first I was like, well, that's only a year. It seems like longer. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
And we're finishing up year
about
2 years. Yeah. And, yeah, we are.
What we're really doing is making sure our kids never want to watch The Wizard of Oz.
That's right. We are through 12 novels of it. Now, we have taken a couple of breaks and read other things in there, too. There is that.
Yeah, we have.
But
and we haven't read every night. I mean,
oh, no,
life gets busy. But we do, you know, pretty good trying to keep that tradition up.
And they love it.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories only get weirder. If you've been listening for a while, we told you, you know, novel 1 is kind of the movie. Novel 3, I think it is kind of the return to Oz, but it's a little bit weirder. I mean, they just get crazier, but the kids just keep liking them, so we keep reading. 3 to go. 2 novels and a collection of short stories to go.
Hard for me to follow. I'm not sure I could tell you much of what's going on.
And the thing is, the kids do.
I don't intentionally zone out, but it happens.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could really even tell you what's happening.
We just finished the novel, The Tin Woodman of Oz, in which there are 2 tin people, and then another person made with 1 tin part, and the rest of them is regular. That kind of gives you an idea of how weird this gets.
And like the lady that liked them both at one point.
They were supposed, at one point, they were each supposed to marry Herbert Rustin on the way to the wedding.
So then she was mad at them and...
And married somebody that was, like, made of their former bodies before they became 10 people. Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah. It gets it gets funky. It's,
it's not Judy Garland.
No. No, we... I mean, if you think the movie The Wizard of Oz is weird, read the novels. Mm-hmm. You will think you'll think The Wizard of Oz, the first one, is nonfiction by the time you get into these. But we have fun doing it, and it's a little while since we had the little updates. I thought we'd do that for fun. Want to talk about some serious stuff?
Mm-hmm.
No NBA records or
please
people made of tin and stuff. You shared a little article recently. Of course, one of our former presidents passed away, George H.W. Bush, or some people call him Bush 41. And, of course, if you watch that funeral, especially the state funeral, one of his sons, George W. Bush, or Bush 43, gave the eulogy. He spoke with one of, what, four or five speakers at the state funeral. And you shared an article that was written by a place called Refuge Church. We don't know anything about that particular church, but the article was interesting. It was written by a counselor there, I think. And it talked about how when George W. Bush was giving the eulogy, the way he talked about his dad, he didn't talk about what a whole lot of parents think are really, you know, is really important, you know, about the growing up years. Now, you know, this is not a let's honor the Bush family podcast. You know, we do like a lot about them, but they weren't perfect people. They aren't perfect people. But yeah, the article talks about how, you know, W. Bush didn't talk about, you know, Pinterest worthy birthday parties and gluten free diets and everything else. Basically, what he just kept coming back to, if you watch the speech, was when he talked about his family, was how much George H.W. Bush loved and was loved by their mother. And just the emphasis on, in reality, that's kind of what kids are looking for as at least the foundation piece of their growing up years. So why then, besides, you know, it was a moving speech, which whether you like the Bush family or not, that was a very moving speech. Let's just start there. You don't have to like the Bushes to, you know, to listen to this. Besides just it was a moving speech, why did that article about the speech kind of touch you in that way to where you wanted to share it?
Well, I think a lot of it, at one point in the article, or at least a main point, was that you don't have to be perfect to be a good parent. Because, you know, at one point in his eulogy, he was talking about how, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush was not perfect, and you know, he talked about, you know, he didn't even like vegetables, and you know, yeah, and his children inherited that, you know, so that's not a perfect, you know, it's not like, well, you know, he was a bad father because he just didn't insist that they were healthy eaters or whatever. And I can't remember specifics other than that one, but I do know that, you know, that was kind of the point, is that he was not a perfect man, but his children love him deeply. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and it, I guess it hits me because so many times you start feeling like, you know, you have to do everything just right or you're going to ruin your kids, and they're going to grow up and resent you if you don't do something right for them. And nobody's going to be the perfect parent. And I think the title was the main thing, like the main thing is just
the major thing.
The major thing is, you know, loving them and having a good, just good relationships in your family.
And one of the points that this writer makes is, you know, the idea that so often what gets parents off track, and sometimes what can even end a marriage, you know, besides just the parenting side of it, but, you know, is mom and dad begin to, what he calls, major in the minors, instead of really focusing on the fact that, you know, loving each other as husband and wife is the major. Now, of course, obviously the major is loving God, but as far as within the home, you know, that dynamic within the home is, do mom and dad love each other the way the Bible describes it? If that's there, then other stuff's going to fall into place. And you, as you said, it's not going to be perfect. It's not because, hey, mom and dad love each other, now our house will be perfectly decorated, or, you know, we're going to have the perfect birthday party. But the kids are going to feel okay because they know that that foundation piece is there.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of the gist of that was, and I'm trying to think of specific examples, but because, you know, it mentions that sometimes discontent and troubles in marriages and families start with just over minor things. And it might be either an example might be this, you know, you don't have to give your kid. I think, did you just mention birthday parties, or was I already thinking that?
I did. And thanks for listening.
Sorry. But
it's late.
If you don't have to have the perfect birthday party for your kid. Excuse me.
Leah has been feeling well this week.
For 2 weeks. Anyway, you don't have to make it all, you know, just perfect and go rent out the facility and have the perfect decorations and the perfect, you know, your kid would love his or her birthday if you just made it a family affair and you made a their favorite cake and you made it and you had special little thing at home just for them. I'm not saying it would be wrong to have a birthday party, yeah. But sometimes we get so caught up into thinking that's what we have to do, or we're not a good mom, or we're not a good dad, that we stress ourselves out, we take on too much, we spend too much money, and those are the minor things that turn into major things, like where you're just, you know, not taking the time for the major thing of just being, you know, together as a family, because you want all the minor things to be just right. And so I really believe that most kids would be just as happy with things like their favorite cake, their favorite supper, and you did that every year on their birthday, or you might have a little tradition and you could do that and just keep it in your own family,
or
and they would be happy with that.
Or if they had the friends over, doesn't mean you have to get blow up stuff and, you know, pay for a clown to come in, all that kind of stuff. They run around the yard and play a couple games and, you know, have hot dogs, and it's fun.
I think there's a time, I don't know if I'll be able to express this the right way. I think there's a time that kids get to a certain age and they want to do something really special. They might want to go somewhere, but you know usually why they want to do that?
Because they've seen other people do it.
That's what they've done with the other friends' birthday parties.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is kids, in general, would be totally happy and feel loved if their parents were actually just making their birthdays personal. And, you know, and how many families just stress out over those minor things? And that's just one example.
Well, we, you know, I'm going to go there. You know, we also have to check our motives. You know, I'm not saying this is the case all the time, but could it not be the case that sometimes we do those, you know, big fancy bashes where it's a birthday party or whatever it is, we're kind of using that as an example, saying, you know, we want to do this to, you know, show our kid how much we love them or whatever, but somewhere deep down inside of us, we're also doing it because we want to make sure the pictures look good on Facebook so everybody else sees what mm-hmm. we did.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
Is that true all the time? No, but could that motive be in there somewhere? Yeah,
there
it could be
a
in there
whole
somewhere.
Lot.
But you know, it doesn't have to be the birthday party. That's a great example, because that's one that, you know, every family faces that decision. You know, however much money they make, you know, wherever they live, that's one of those things that it's so easy to just let kind of everybody else decide how you're going to, you know, do something for your kids. But it doesn't just have to be that. You know, the vacations that we take, mm-hmm. But I love even the examples in here of, you know, is it important to, and he even says later, the writer even says later, you know, he's not talking about, you know, not caring for the health of our children. He's not saying, you know, let them eat junk food all the time or whatever, but, you know, how often do so many parents, and we're not talking here about, you know, food allergies, that kind of thing, not at all, but how often do parents just totally stress out about, you know, well, we've had, you know, not the healthiest supper two nights in a row, we're killing our children.
I'm feeling guilt about it, especially moms. I think,
yeah,
have that mom guilt.
Should we care about the health of our children? Yes, and should we, you know, try to do the best we can? Yeah, but as we've said this podcast a million times, Leah, at some point there has to be a little bit of grace, because it's not going to be perfect every night supper or every meal every day. It's just not going to be perfect.
Well, this is a personal thing with me and you. That's, you know, not every family would find themselves in this situation, but how many times have we had conversations about homeschooling when there's something that's stressful and you're struggling in an area and you're constantly reminding me to look at the bigger picture and how at the end of the road this won't be as big of a deal, or, you know, just things like that. And even this week, there, you know, I was talking with some other homeschool moms, and that was coming up, you know, that, you know, in the big picture of education, especially with homeschooling or in any, you know, form of education, public school, private or whatever, is that what is a kid in the long run, what do you need to do for them just to be a good Christian adult? You know, and sometimes we stress over every little bitty thing and really change the, sometimes like the whole culture of our family, you know, because we want our kid to be this or that, and we're stressed out about that, and we're stressed out about that. And maybe it's, you know, too many activities going on. Maybe it's, you know, just being too involved in some things. And then in the long run, that's not even going to be beneficial, you know, to your kid. Or maybe what you thought was such a big deal for them to be involved in, you know, when they're like 25 or 30 years old, they're not even going to be doing it. And looking back, what are the major things you should be doing with your kids? And spending the time with them and talking with them and teaching and training them. And you know, it goes a lot bigger when you start thinking of it in a spiritual sense, yeah, I think.
For sure. And so, you know, I think this is a decent article because it was, you know, again, whatever you think of the Bush family, that's kind of beside the point as far as, you know, the bigger picture here was when, you know, when the patriarch, really technical, I guess George H.W. Bush wasn't the patriarch. It was the family goes from Preston would have been the, Prescott Bush would have been the patriarch back, presidential nerd here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when a very influential member of the family dies, you know, for one thing, just a son being willing to speak says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, like you said, he didn't get up there and, you know, paint a picture of the perfect father. But it was interesting how often that, what was it, Leah, 15 minutes, maybe not even that long, they talked simply about how he loved and backed his family, especially his wife, and his wife loved him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they remember, or a lot of what they remember, as far as what was really, really important. One other thing you shared that we want to talk about, I loved this. It was a little meme, little picture from Facebook.
We always talk about things I share on Facebook.
That's right. Because I share just articles from our own website, pretty much. That's pretty much all I share on Facebook. Little meme on Facebook here, cute little boy with a little hacksaw, a little denim hat on, everything, cutting a board. I just want to read it. This is a little bit long, but I just want to read it, and then we're going to talk about it for a few moments. The big letters at the top says, what if? So it's what if. Instead of worrying about whether we should give kids gold stars for participating, or gold stars for being the best, we involve kids in real-world activities where the end result of the activity itself is the reward. Teach them gardening, woodworking, repair skills, fiber arts, whatever that is, sewing, cooking. Get them out hiking somewhere with a gorgeous view. Raise animals and have them learn to care about something other than themselves. Chickens! Have them help out a grandparent or elderly neighbor. Our society has lost sight of what's truly important in life. It's time to find it again. Now, I think the best part of that little meme, and you may disagree with this, is the phrase where it talks about getting kids involved, where something, a real-world activity, where the end result of the activity itself is the reward. That's the best part of it to me.
Mm-hmm.
We're raising kids sometimes to think you have to do something, as this talks about, to get the gold star or whatever, the trophy or the, you know, the prize at the end.
Or that what, how beneficial it is what someone else agrees to.
Yeah, a judge agrees to it, or you run the race faster than somebody else, or you hit the ball farther than somebody else, you score more runs than somebody else, or whatever the situation is. But the activities it mentions here in the middle, the fact that you have tried to build a table or raise a garden or raise an animal, you know, or whatever the situation is, that's the reward.
Mm-hmm.
Is we've kept a dog alive for a couple of years, you know, or, you know, or if, like a kid a minute ago, if you have chickens, you've gotten some eggs, you've raised the chickens, you've done that, you've learned, you know, Mary Carol's learning to crochet. What's the reward of that? Crocheting.
She knows how to crochet.
Yeah. It's not, you know, somebody gives her a trophy because she made a hat. She crochets.
How many times, though, these skills like that.
Is that a fiber art, by the way? What is a fiber art?
I really don't know.
Okay,
really
sorry.
Is that like
fiber arts? I didn't mean to interrupt
string
you.
String art, things like that?
Maybe so. Maybe it's crochet, because that's yarn. That's fiber.
Mm.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. You might be right.
I've never seen that term before.
What was I saying?
You may, and then I cut you off like a very terrible host.
See all these kind of activities or those skills, and those, most of the time, you don't really get acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't come with a lot of accolades, mm-hmm. You know, most people would be like, well, so what? You can cook like a nice meal. Well, that's a big deal, you know? I mean, that's an important thing, actually. And sewing, knowing how to put together a garment, you know, we take it for granted that we can just go to the store and buy. You know, that might not always be the case.
Let me go back to one you mentioned there, you know, cooking, it's on the list. Mm-hmm. How many people that you know, not just you, Lee, but just people listening to this, talk about, I'm not the greatest cook in the world, but I just love cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that fits so much in what's saying. The reward is the fact you've done it. It may not be a gourmet meal. It may not be something that, you know, someone randomly picks up and all of a sudden you're in a cookbook. But the process and the fact that you could do it and did it, that's the reward.
And it's beneficial, you know.
Yeah, very much
what
so.
Does the trophy do for you?
Yeah, collects dust.
Strokes your ego, yeah.
Collects dust,
yeah. Takes it room. I mean, you know, really, but that's the reward is that you've actually done something you really have done something valuable. If you know these kinds of skills, I mean, it doesn't only talk about skills like that, but, you know, getting out hiking somewhere.
Which, you know, obviously has a physical reward.
Right,
but even here it says, get them out hiking somewhere with a gorgeous view.
Right,
what's the reward?
The view.
There is a physical side to it, mm-hmm. yeah, but the reward in many ways is you're seeing something. It's not that someone's going to hand you a trophy because you saw something.
Right.
You just saw something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I love that, you know, have them help out a grandparent or an elderly neighbor. You know, what's the reward of that? Well, if it's a grandparent, you might get a buck.
mm-hmm.
But usually the reward's going to be a thank you or a kiss on the cheek from the grandparent, and that's pretty much it, except for the fact that that kid comes back knowing they helped somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The day we're recording this, on the blog, Mom had an article where she talked about the holiday banquet we did at Central a couple of weeks ago, and I won't mention the kids. She didn't mention the kid's name either, but we had the kids from church, the teenagers and younger, you know, seat the guests and, you know, get the meals, take their orders and everything. And after it was over, one of the moms left a comment on Facebook on some of the pictures that said that her son, who had helped out with that stuff, just talked like the whole way home about how he just loved helping the elderly,
mm-hmm.
and everything. And that fits here. You know, they mm-hmm. got nothing out of that. They didn't get paid for that, you know.
But he did get something.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. You know, as far as what the world would look at, he didn't get paid. He didn't get a trophy. I can't even remember if he was in the pictures. I mean, I think he was, but, you know, we had a couple walking around taking pictures, but there were 80 people there total. You know, may not have gotten everybody. And even if he was, it wasn't like that picture was going to be, you know, on the news and all of a sudden, you know, he's famous here in our little town or anything like that. What was the reward? He made somebody smile,
mm-hmm.
and he felt better about himself for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so did the other kids. I remember her talking about that specifically.
Right.
And it's that kind of stuff that we need to be teaching kids. And I think you said a key word a minute ago, too. It's beneficial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cooking, gardening.
It really matters.
And the list could go on and on and on.
Life.
You know, repair skills. I need mm-hmm. to do better about that, right? But you know, let's bring that to adults for a second. You talked about repair skills. I don't know how to repair a lot of stuff. I just, you know, that's never been in my wheelhouse. But every time I have repaired something, what's the reward?
You're proud?
I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may not have lasted very long, but
you keep going back and repairing.
Yeah. But there's just that reward. And sometimes I think we're so worried about our kids doing things where they get, what's the opposite of intrinsic? An extrinsic, is that the right word? You know, reward, you know, the grade or the trophy or the MVP award. And we need to be teaching them some things where there's some intrinsic reward to it, where just the thing itself
mm-hmm.
and the accomplishment of it, and while obviously, you know, how we feel is not the most important thing in the world, but when it's you feel good because you've done something like this, that's a good thing. This is mm-hmm. not an arrogant kind of feeling good. This is I feel good because I've done something that's actually important and beneficial and that makes that makes a difference for me or for my family or for my neighborhood or whoever it is I'm serving and helping.
I think this is where you, this is where real character is built though, because if that's your goal, is to benefit from these things, to grow as a person, to really do something valuable that's useful for yourself or for other people, and we choose the other things that just so we can make a name for ourselves, just because someone else can pat us on the back, just because we can have, maybe, you know, you keep saying trophy, a trophy here, look what I've done, you know, or whatever it might be, just a label for yourself, then I think that says a lot about your character, if that's what you're trying to think, because you're really wanting the praise from people instead of just doing the right thing. And that's like, you know, we can all be guilty of that.
That's a biblical principle,
you know,
too.
We can, it's pride. I mean, it's just pride. But yeah, we can all be guilty of that. And, you know, it's something we really have to keep. And, you know, maybe we struggle with it maybe more than we ought to. But, you know, if we can, I think it's just a discipline, you know, that do things that even if that's what really, you know, that's the definition of character I've always heard, is that even if no one else knows about it, and, you know, no, it might not mean anything to anyone else, but if you're doing something that's valuable, really valuable, then, you know, it is, you know, even if no one else knows about it or acknowledges it, it's still valuable.
Well, you said a minute ago, we all can struggle with that. I mean, how often, and here I am, the preacher, I'm the guy who does stand up in front and talk about this stuff, right? How often do you hear preachers get up and talk about how, yes, it's important that somebody gets up and leads singing, or a lady stands up in front of a Bible class and teaches, or, you know, someone stands up and preaches, but it's just as important, you know, those people who send cards and nobody else knows about it, or goes and sits with somebody at the nursing home, or, you know, those things that never make their name in the bulletin or never have their names in the PowerPoint, that stuff's just as important. We all know that's true. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we don't feel like it's true.
It's true.
And it's a battle when the one who's saying that, and here, you know, I'm talking about myself, is the one standing up in front saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that's one of the, I'll be honest with you, that's one of the hardest things to preach about, because you're the one up in front and everybody knows you're doing
that.
It.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say that, right. And I think we can all struggle with, I mean, I think we're kind of getting off track maybe a little bit, but we can all struggle with wanting to feel acknowledged and validated. I mean, I do. I know I do. Or, you know, it'd be nice if you, you know, and I guess my particular life profession, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, I don't get a paycheck. No one says, hey, you know, what do you do? Or, you know, what's your career? Well, let's see. You know, I don't have that. So I don't really have that identity. And it's real easy for that to make me feel like I'm not valuable, mm-hmm, because no one's saying I am, mm-hmm, or no one's giving me a certificate or
a paycheck
saying, yeah, your work means something to us, you know. And so, you know, you still need to make sure people feel like they are, but it's a change of perspective. If we don't look at these kinds of skills like they are valuable,
I don't think we're off track at all, yeah, because where do we learn that? When we're children, when we're teenagers, when we teach our kids, you cook the meal not because mom and dad are going to pay you $10 because you cook supper.
Right.
You cook the meal because you learned how to cook and you benefited the family.
Right.
That's what.
And there's value in that. There is some value to having someone who can put a meal on the table,
yeah,
for a seat. We have to have food.
You go out and help mom or help dad, you know, work in the garden for a few minutes, not because you're going to get money from it, because then in, you know, July, August, September, when those vegetables start coming in, you've benefited the family. You've helped the family by helping those things come in,
mm-hmm,
and now we have fresh, you know, fresh food to eat because of what you've done. Not because we got paid to do it, but because, mm-hmm, the accomplishment and the work, mm-hmm, is the reward.
Right.
And so, you know, we're not, you know, making a podcast, you know, to say start your own homestead and do everything, but we do need to be instilling in our kids the concept of, you know, some things you just do, but sometimes these types of things you do and you should feel, I don't know if rewarded is the right word or not, but you should feel an accomplishment and a good kind of pride in the simple fact that you've done it.
Right. And I think as parents, this goes along really with what you're saying, but as parents, we need to check ourselves if we feel like we are pushing our kids into doing things just so they can have that, pat on the back or trophy or certificate. And if those are the kinds of activities we're trying to push our kids in, there may not be any value in that really for their life at all outside of their youth years. But if we keep that in our society where that's the kind of things we want our kids to be good at because, hey, everybody can see them and it's they shine really brightly out there in the world. If we do that as parents, then they grow up feeling like that's the only kind of value they have. And you know what? Here's a shocker. Not everything you do when you're an adult are people going to care about. You're not going to be the best one out there. Yeah. You're not going to, have the best cars and the best house and, the best clothes. And people sometimes really struggle with that. They really get depressed and anxious about all of that because maybe we're raising kids to feel like, hey, you're the best person in the world and let's give you a certificate to show you and let's have you in this activity that says you're smart or this activity that says you're strong or whatever. Like, the whole gripe about beauty pageants is that mm-hmm. you don't want to teach a girl that she's only pretty if the judge says she's pretty, that, she can be pretty because she's pretty, not because someone else has to tell her she is.
Let me give you kind of an example of that. A lot of our listeners are familiar with Lad's School Years. We've talked about it several times in the podcast, and I know some of our listeners are involved in it. When I was a youth minister, we tried for a couple of years to make a really big push where we were at. It was heavily involved in Lad's School Years, but kids do kind of get in a rut of the events that they do there. And so we made a really big push for a couple of years. Hey, just try something new. Just try a different event. See if you have a skill there. See if it's something you just enjoy. And I remember Leah going up to one of our young people and just saying, "Hey, why don't you try this event?" I mentioned to him what it was. You know what their response was?
What?
"I don't think I want to because I can't win."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, right there is mm-hmm. a problem.
It's a problem.
Because what I was trying to get them to do was try it just to try it. Just to say you've done it. You may stink at it.
Mm-hmm.
But so what? The accomplishment was I've stretched myself mm-hmm. just a little bit and tried something new. And I may have found something I enjoy. And I may not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. But but this whole mindset of I only am going to do the things where I'm going to excel. And I'm going to be rewarded for excelling. That's right. A problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be teaching our kids, you do things, number one, just because they're right, but the things we're talking about here are not necessarily, moral things, but they are just, beneficial and helpful things mm-hmm. where you do feel a great sense of accomplishment just with the process of, there are going to be times where you fail learning how to cook. That's all there is to it, or garden, or, whatever the situation is. But over the course of time, the accomplishment is, I used to be a terrible cook, but now I can make a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can make a lot of things. I may never be a professional chef. I may never make a dime doing this. But I enjoy knowing that if somebody says, "Hey, we need a meal for this sick family," or kids grow up and now they're married, I can make a few meals.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of a lifetime, I'll make a few more. And it's just that growth of accomplishment that we want to instill in the kids. Not, "Hey, here's a trophy because you cook supper." No, the trophy is thank you for cooking supper.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
Have we?
I don't think we've.
I'm going to say we beat a dead horse because PETA told us not to do that. Did you see that?
No.
The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals shared, and I'm not making this up, they shared a list of what they called statements that use animals and we should not use those because it's cruel to animals.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it too. Please.
Yeah. It was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like squirrels eat. I'm just being cruel. I thought, anyway. So anyway, we will share the links to the article about the Bush eulogy and then the picture, the meme that Leah shared about the, forgot what we talked about now. whatever we want to call that, about the accomplishment.
Right, it didn't have a title.
Then we have a title. We'll share the links to those if you're interested. Those can be found at fawnfamily.com/pod114, fawnfamily.com/pod114. I'm not really 100% sure when we'll have another podcast. We hope for 2 weeks. It may be three, depending on, well, how busy Christmas time is. So we're going to do our best to hit somewhere in those couple of weeks. We hope to stay on schedule as much as we possibly can through the holidays. Hope you have great holidays. Leah, love you.
Love you.
And until two or three-ish weeks from now, remember your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.